Let's pray together, shall we? Father God, we thank you that we can be in this place, in this house, and we can worship you. And Lord, we know that with excitement, we welcome back those missionaries, Lord, who are in Africa and Germany. And Lord, we know that their heart is still there in some way because they have touched lives, and you've touched lives. And they've seen that. God, they've seen that. But we're so thrilled that they're back with us today, worshiping with us. And God, we know that you have blessed them with many stories and situations which they're going to tell in the weeks to come. And Father, we ask that you continue to bless them, and as they re-engage and even maybe try and get some rest still from their trip and their journey. And Lord, we pray that you would just continue to be the strength in their life. And we pray that for each of us, God, this morning, that you would continue to be the strength in our life. And because we know that your joy gives strength. And so we come today, Lord, recognizing that joy. And Father, it's such a joy that we can be here to worship you. As Dana led us, Lord, what a blessing to us. And we're thankful for him. We pray for him, for his ministry. We pray, God, that you would just bless him abundantly. And Lord, as we open your word, we know, Lord, that you have put this word in our hands for a reason. And so, Father, we pray that you would receive the glory today as we open up your word and learn from it. And Lord, may we not just learn, may we apply this to our lives today. To you be the glory and the honor forever and ever. Amen. Well, you know, we were doing that dedication, and I was thinking about, as Brett and Marianne were coming forward, about how much God values us getting together. And that's what we're going to talk about today, is we're going to talk about understanding what God values. I think it's important. Last week we looked at understanding God's love, and today we understand what God values. And next week we're going to look at understand about God's grace. So we're into understanding a little bit. I want to recall for you just a special story of my father. My dad was pretty quiet, a pretty quiet man, and yet he often found ways, he discovered ways in which he could just pour into other people his life. I mean, you know, in his own shyness in a sort of way, but he's a wonderful diplomat. And I appreciated what he taught me so many ways. But I can remember one time my father and I, we were, my dad's name's George, and my mother Mabel, and Joan, and my wife, and my kids, we're all traveling to look at trailers. And so my dad, he on the way, we were talking about various things. And I said to him, I said, you know, Dad, you know, involvement in church is a pretty important thing. And because God enjoys it when we fellowship together. And Dad agreed. I mean, he said, yeah, you're right, son. And I thought I should mark that down. I was right. And in fact, he said to me, he said, first impressions, he said, are the most important with an individual. I mean, the moment that they first meet you, Devin, is the most critical time. You know, when you're introduced to a stranger, for instance, he said, that first moment, those first few words out of your mouth, they are the most critical. He said, people need to know what you're all about. I mean, that's the most critical time. I mean, if somebody comes along and says, yeah, I'd like you to meet, he said, those words, those first words out of your mouth are the most important because it tells who you are. And I couldn't agree more with him. I mean, he said it and he was correct. And so here we were traveling along, and as we're traveling, my dad, kind of the kingpin of travel trailers, he said, now listen, Mabel, to my mom, Mabel, Devin, the rest of you, I'm going to make sure that we get a good deal on a trailer. Okay, you guys, don't open your mouth. Okay? You know, I'll be the one who knows what to say and how to say it, because, you know, I'm kind of skilled at this. I know travel trailers and stuff. And so when the salesman comes over, you just let me do the talking. Don't you guys say anything, you know? Because those first impressions are important. Yes, Dad, yes, Dad, yes, Dad. My mother, Mabel, said yes, 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 George, yes, George. So we get out of the car, and we pull up in the Travel Line trailers, and we get out of the car, and we're looking at trailers, and kind of, and then sure enough, here comes the salesman and my dad, getting himself ready for this, you know. Salesman walked over, and I could see my dad just getting set for the opening line of his life. The salesman said, he said, "Hello, I'm Doug. How are you all doing today?" My dad stretched out his right hand, and he said, "Great. It's great to meet you, Doug. My name is Mabel. This is my wife, George." I mean, we laughed hysterically. That young salesman was laughing so hard, tears were rolling down his face, and we made our way back to the vehicle. We were done looking at trailers. You know, there's value in people. I was thinking about somebody who shows a servant heart. My dad is the one who showed that servant heart. I mean, he always wanted people to feel affirmed in who they were, and he did with that salesman, I'll tell you that. But I began to think of somebody who was a servant, somebody who did ministry, not up front, but behind the scenes. You know, kept it all going. Somebody who didn't sing the solo, didn't preach the message, just did ministry week in and week out. I want you to turn in your Bibles to John chapter 1. John chapter 1, I think it's page 750. Here we go in your blue Bibles there. Because this is where we're introduced not only to the person called Andrew, but also to the kind of person that he was. I mean, Andrew was that kind of person that made the disciples of Jesus great. I mean, he's the kind of person that makes a local congregation a great church. In fact, we have many Andrews here at First. I know we do. Well, Andrew's ministry was characterized by three significant insights that others just didn't seem to grasp, and that this is really is what is valuable to God. When you bottom line it, this is what it's all about. You see, God values, first of all, individuals. He values the individual. If you look at John chapter 1 and verse 40, it says there, "Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, was one of the two who heard what John had said and who had followed Jesus." And then it goes on and it says in verse 41, "The first thing Andrew did was to find his brother Simon and tell him, 'We have found the Messiah,' that is the Christ." You see, everywhere you find Andrew in the Gospels, you find someone pouring his life into someone else's. You see, that's why Andrew was effective for the kingdom. Because the first thing that Andrew did was to find his brother and tell him, "Hey, I found the Messiah." And what a beautiful example. I mean, he goes behind the scenes. He goes out for the individual in this situation. He gets his brother and he brings his brother to Jesus. He was always finding the individual. Reminds me of a cute story. A boss of a big company who needed to call one of his employees and an urgent problem that just one of the main computers had gone and dialed the employee's home phone number, and he was greeted with a child who whispered, "Hello." Have you ever had a child answer the phone going, "Hello"?
"Well, is your daddy home?" said the boss.
"Yes," whispered the small voice.
"May I talk with him?"
"No." Boss went all over. "Is your mommy there?" "Yes." "May I talk with her?"
"No."
Well, the boss was getting a little frustrated now because he wanted at least to leave a message. And so he said, "Is anybody else there?"
"Yes. A policeman."
Well, wondering what a policeman would be doing at his employee's home, the boss asked, he said, "Well, may I speak with the policeman?"
"No. He's busy.
Well, busy doing what?
Talking to Daddy and Mommy and the firemen.
Well, growing concerned, even the, actually really worried, is as he heard what sounded like a helicopter going on in the background through the earpiece in the phone, he said, what's that noise? He said,
well, it's a helicopter.
What's going on there? Asked the boss. He was in a whispering voice, the child said,
there's lots of people. They just landed from the helicopter. They're searching.
And alarmed and concerned, even more than just a little frustrated, the boss said, well, what are they searching for? Still whispering, that young little voice replied, along with a little muffled giggle,
me.
God cares about the individual. He will search till he finds you. But you can't run from him. You know, I believe that many of us will understand what this unknown author said when they said the basic building block of good communication is the feeling that every human being is unique and of value. You are unique. And you have value. You are valuable to God. You may not think it, you may wonder sometimes, but God sees you as valuable. I mean, there was a time when the Greeks wanted to see Jesus, and they came to Philip, and they recognized Philip. I mean, Philip was one of the disciples, and they came to him because he was Greek. And the first thing that Philip did was find Andrew. And then Andrew took the Greeks to see Jesus. See, Andrew was the one who found the kid with the few loaves and the few fish. Andrew was always finding people. He was always pouring his life into the individual because he understood that God values the individual. Now, I've had many opportunities to spend with great people and know that God loves people. You know, giving your life away, as my dad would often say, giving your life away takes time, but it's worth it. It's worth the cost of giving your life away. And so as you give your life away, you receive in return. But that's not why you give your life away. You give because you value the individual. See, John Maxwell, my mentor in leadership, he does a tremendous job of remembering names. And he makes a day in his schedule, and he walks through each person to pray for them and get to know their names. And I do that. I mean, I learn from the best. And he does that. It's a good, wonderful way of learning. And there's this young at heart lady named Alma. She's in her 80s, and she came in on a Sunday morning, for instance, and she walked through the door of the church and a second Sunday, and Dr. Maxwell just walked over to her, and he said, hi, Alma. Good to see you. And she was there in the lobby. Big old tears began to flow. And Marjorie was another lady who was visiting for the second time, and Maxwell walked over to her, and he said, Marjorie, it's good to see you. Where's your husband? Dick. And she started jumping up and down. Dick happened to be behind her, and she said, you remembered our names, you remembered our names, you remembered our names. She said, I won. I bet that you would, $10 that you would remember our names. And I won. I won. Maxwell turned to her and said, come over here, Dick. Come here. Is this true? Did she bet this? $10? He said, yep. Okay. Well, go on now. Give her $10. I remembered your name. He got the $10 and gave it to Marjorie. And then Maxwell went to Marjorie. And he said, okay, Marjorie, we teach tithing in our church, and I'll take $1, please. You see, in God's sight, people really count. It doesn't matter about the size of church that we minister in. It doesn't matter what growth programs we have. What does matter to God is the individual. And I think that's why character is more important than gifts. I mean, what we are and who we are is more important than what we do. Being godly is more important than by being right. I mean, many people have different opinions, but God wants us to live righteously. Love is more important than just doing good works. I mean, love in the body of Christ, loving the people of God is more important than anything that we have. And you cannot lose by learning that, by having a servant's attitude, having a spirit of learning, and knowing an individual is more important to God than anything else. There's always room for a servant in the kingdom of God. Well, God values individuals, but he also values invisible service. See, I had to get my eyes in there. Invisible service. The behind-the-scenes ministry. Now, this is really where servanthood begins. I mean, can you picture with me just for a moment what we've looked at here in this passage? I mean, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, was one of the two, heard what John had said and who had followed Jesus. And the first thing Andrew did was to find his brother Simon, tell him, "We found the Messiah, that is the Christ," and he brought him to Jesus. I love what the Amplified Bible says. Andrew then led. That means he brought Simon to Jesus. And Jesus looked at him and said, "You are Simon, son of John. You shall be called Cephas," which translated as Peter the Stone. Now, the first time that we see Andrew, when he finds Jesus, what does he do? He goes and finds his brother. Now, that's very significant. Because the day that Andrew brought good old Pete to Jesus, Andrew understood that he would never be one of the top disciples. You see, these two guys grew up together. I mean, Pete was the charismatic one. He was the leader. He was the strong one. And when the two of them went anywhere, I mean, Peter was the one that everybody just noticed. Ooh, there's Peter. Because everybody just followed Pete. He was like a Pied Piper. He was the leader. There was no question about it. And Andy, no doubt, lived in the shadow of his brother. And what does he do? "I got to go get my brother." That's a heart for God. I mean, basically he's saying, it's okay, I don't have to be up front. I don't have to be in the inner circle. I don't have to sing the solo. I don't have to preach the message. I don't have to teach the lesson. I don't have to be the attention. It's okay if others don't see me. That's a servant. And I want you to realize that those who are doing the gritty day-in, day-out background ministry, they are truly displaying a servant's heart. Their motives are pure. They're doing it for God because they love God. They're not doing it for applause. They're not doing it to be noticed. They're not doing it for recognition. They're not doing it for the praise of other people. They're doing it because they love God. Their service is invaluable, but it's also invisible. At the funeral, Dawson Trotman, the great founder of the Navigators, a pastor from Taiwan, stood up, and they asked him what he remembered that great leader for. And he said, "I'll tell you what I remember Dawson Trotman for. In Taiwan together, we took a hike one day, and it was very muddy. We came back that evening extremely tired, and we fell into bed. And the next morning when I woke up, my shoes were washed and shined. Dawson Trotman had gotten up early. That is what I remember of Dawson Trotman." A servant's heart. What kind of a heart have you today? You see, we have to realize that church is not a social club. The church lives for God's pleasure by desiring the things of God. And God wants nothing more for the church to serve him. We're here to minister. We're here to do ministry. God's desire is not just to have a bunch of pew potatoes. Just kidding. Don't throw anything. I think Andrew can teach all of us to take God and his kingdom seriously, to find what our gifts are, to be who we are, to uniquely use those gifts right where we are. Right here, right now. You all have the ability of invisible service. And many of you, I got to share this, many of you do the invisible service. That's what makes FIRST so great. I mean, I see you. I see you. Recognize the pats on the back, the hugs, the kisses. You know, the just coming in and doing something. Nobody even sees it, but you're doing it. Could be from turning on the fan Sunday morning, moving chairs, washing tea towels, baking cookies. You'd never want me to bake cookies. Some of you know how to do that. I mean, that's invisible service, and that's valuable to God. God values the individual. He also values invisible service, but he also values insignificant gifts. You remember the feeding of the 5,000? Andrew finds this boy, a few loaves, a few fishes, and Lord feeds 5,000 from those simple loaves and just a few loaves and a few fish. Actually, a fish. It's not that God needs us. It's not like every time we get on a plane, or like when Dana gets on a plane or driving our car or something, God doesn't go, "Oh, I hope he makes it. Hope he gets there. Oh, what do I do if he doesn't get there?" You know, God doesn't do that. God wants to partner with me because he wants me to grow closer to him. It's for me. It's for my growth. When you think about the church being a body, as it says in Corinthians, when you think of the church being a body, hands and feet and eyes and mouth. That's me, the mouth. Mouth. They're very necessary. They're very important. But I could not stand here before you if I didn't have kidneys. If I didn't have a heart. If I didn't have a liver. Can you see my liver? You wouldn't want to see my liver. If I didn't have a brain. I'm not going to ask if you can see my brain, okay? Those things you don't see. Our bodies would not be able to function without them. God values insignificant things. He values what you think is not worthy of anything. And you may be feeling that way this morning. You may be feeling very insignificant and not of value. God values you in so many ways. You may feel like you're weak this morning. God enjoys your weakness because then he is your strength. See, God loves you. We understood that from last week. God values you. Say, God values me. Say it again. God values me. Now say it like you mean it. God values me. Wow. Friends, you grow in three ways. You go through the Word of God, reading the Bible. You grow through the fellowship of the saints. And you grow through the ministry. Often in churches, it's easy for people to grow through potlucks and fellowship lunches. Grow. Just a thought, though. Growing in God. You know, I love to serve God. And often I'm up front. It's probably hardest for me to serve God behind the scenes, but I love to serve God behind the scenes. You know, I love that. And it's because it's not even noticed sometimes. I love it. Because I know God values me when I do it. God values each and every one of you by name. He has every hair on your head numbered. Some of you, that's a little less than the rest of us, but he does that because you lose count. Otherwise, a few more come out. I'm getting less and less. But I'm reminded of Edith Rizal. You know, Edith Rizal, she was 90 years old. And she came to me, it was at a funeral that I was doing, of a fellow that she had taught in Sunday school. Okay? Remember, she was 90 years old, and I was doing the funeral of somebody she taught in Sunday school. And she said to me, she said, "Pastor, what's wrong with me?" I said, "What?" She said, "Well, I have prayed that God would just take me home. How come I'm still here? You know, Don gets to go home. I taught him in Sunday school. You know, how come God doesn't answer my prayer and I'm still here? Is there something wrong with me?" And I said, well, I don't, you know, I do what every spiritual leader does at that moment. I don't know, pray. You know, I said, ask God that question. I was lost. I didn't know what to say. I mean, she was 90. She had wisdom, amazing wisdom. A week later, Edith came to see me, and she said, Pastor, I want to start baking cookies for people who need them. How about a treat for new visitors or something? And then she said, and I want to phone those people you can't get around to see. She said, I want to visit them on the phone. I said, Edith, what happened? She said, well, I prayed, you know, and I asked God the same question I asked you. Why didn't you take me home yet? And God said, well, Edith, I'm not finished with you yet. I got ministry for you to do. You know what? Edith led many people to Christ at the age of 90 just through a heart for ministry. Behind the scenes. Insignificant as far as the world goes. But valuable to God. Albert Einstein said, not everything that can be counted counts, and not everything that counts can be counted. Say that 18 times fast. Never think that you are insignificant. I mean, understand this today. You are significant. You are greatly valued by God. There is no way that you can hide from God. You can't outrun Him. You can't keep secrets from Him. He will not leave you. He will never forsake you. He cares for you. He values you. He values the individual. He values invisible service. And He values what we think are insignificant gifts. That's what we need to understand today. And that's what we need to enjoy. Let's pray. While every head is bowed and every eye is closed, Dana, I'm going to ask you to start playing. While every head is bowed and every eye is closed, I'm just going to ask you some things right now. I hope you understand what God values. And I hope you understand especially that God values you. No matter what you've done, no matter what you will do, no matter where you journey, no matter what mistakes you may think you have made, no matter where you think you're insignificant, or where you're invisible, God sees you and recognizes who you are. Do you know how much God values you? He values you so much that He let His Son die for you. See, He created you. He created you out of love, and He created you with love. It doesn't matter what people think of you. It doesn't matter what gifts you have or what you think is insignificant or if you're invisible. God values those elements in your life. Maybe today you need to just say to Him, God, thank you for giving me value. Thank you for recognizing who I am. Thank you for knowing me by name. Thank you for expressing, God, the value that you have in me simply by a cross. Maybe today you need to say, God, I want to feel fulfilled in who I am because I've never felt that fulfillment before, but I want to feel it today because I know, God, I know that you value me and I want that fulfillment in my life. I want that joy in knowing your strength. And I tell you, when you do, it's truly wonderful. If you're coming to God that way and saying, God, thank you. Thank you, God. Thank you. Today I realize that you value me and I thank you for looking at me as valuable. Would you just lift your hand? Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Lift your hand, lift your hand. Lord bless you, Lord bless you. Lord bless you, 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 Lord bless you. Lord bless you, Lord bless you. God sees all those hands. Lord bless you. God, thank you for seeing me as valuable. Just lift your hand up. Lord, bless you. 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 Thanks, Lord. You're awesome. Oh, boy, you value us. Wow. You value us beyond what we can even think or imagine. Lord, don't just let us walk out of here with a warm fuzzy. Help us to become like Andrew, pulling people to you, finding people to bring to you. Lord, if we're not finding our spiritual gifts, if we're not part of a team here in this church, help us, Lord, to just figure that out. Lord, help us to join hands and do something besides sit, because, God, you sure value us. You went out of your way to make a difference in our life. God, may we do so much more than just talk about you in our own relationship with you. May we bring others to you. May we back our talk up with our walk. God, we pray this in the name of Jesus Christ, whom we worship. In the name of Jesus Christ, who is Lord of our life and Lord of this church. To you be the glory forever and ever. And all God's people said, amen.